you want it, then you're going to do it.
Mm.
Sometimes we say we want things, but we don't really want it. Mm. It feels good to say you want to do things. It feels good to say, oh my gosh, I want to go to, I want to be on the beach in Mexico. But you don't want to work extra hours so that you can get the money so that you can be on the beach in Mexico. You don't want to do that. You didn't really want it.
Hi, welcome to Motivation to Write. I'm your host, Ebony. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. I hope it was relaxing, and I hope you're enjoying your leftovers and your time off, if you're so fortunate to get time off. Today, I am very excited because I have the wonderful motivational speaker and author, Sir Amazing, as a guest. So let's learn a little bit more about Sir Amazing. Amay Mukindi Jr. is a motivational speaker, entrepreneur, social media influencer, and active community volunteer from Buffalo, New York, where he was recently named one of the Changemakers 30 Under 30, recognizing the impact and accomplishments of young professionals. He is also an author, as he has recently published Everyone Needs a Hero, Why Can't It Be You? This is a must-read book to help you find the greatness within you, whether it stems from battling depression, your journey on personal discovery, or any adversity. I am here with Sir Amay, and I am so excited to have him. He's a lot of things. You're a life coach, you're a motivational speaker, you're an author. Did I read that you also have your own podcast?
Something is in the works.
It's in the works. Okay. Yeah, you have a lot going on here. And I'm just excited because watching your videos, I could just sense your authority and your confidence. And you seem like you have a lot of knowledge and wisdom to share with us. And this book, Everybody Needs a Hero, Why Can't It Be You? I have it on my wish list because I have a long to read list. So I do plan to get to that book. But Sir May, I was just wondering for all of our listeners, if you could just give us a little bit about your background. Like, how did you come into this life coach, motivational speaker career path?
Well, first and foremost, the one thing we didn't mention is that I'm a human.
Yes, that's a great
point. Like, it's up before anything. Yeah. But honestly, my first speaking engagement it's a pretty cool story. So my grandfather has had MS my whole life. He's had MS since 1969, and he's a Howard alum. Mm. And he, for about 20, 22 years, did a scholarship for students with disabilities. And at age 4, I'm at his scholarship event in 1997, so long ago.
Oh, you were only 4 in 1997? Oh my gosh.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that this early. I should have let you guess afterwards.
Oh my gosh. I feel like a dinosaur now, but that's okay. No,
it's just a little bit of seasoning and experience. That's all.
That's weak. I like that.
But he's talking to the crowd, and I walk up to him and I snatch the mic out of his hand and sing, I Believe I Can Fly. And that was my first speaking engagement ever.
And I love that. Oh my goodness. Can you sing?
So, I don't call that a skill.
It's one of the
I do know a lot about. Of lyrics, though. Okay. I do know a lot of lyrics, but I don't think I've won any American Idol contests.
Okay.
But the interesting aspect of that's what I consider to be my first speaking engagement. Mm. And as I reflected back on my life from that moment, when I got a little bit older, I gave speeches in elementary school. Like, I remember giving the DARE speech in fifth grade. And then when I was in middle school, I did declamation contests. And then I gave the graduation speech for high school. I gave the pre-commencement speech for college. So speaking was always just a part of my life in some capacity. It seemed like that was just a gift that was given to me. Mm. So it was about a little over a year ago, where I decided to move more towards the motivational speaking path because I was always talking.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how things led.
I really love that story because I was talking to someone else recently, and we were talking about how the number one fear amongst people, at least in the United States, it's public speaking. And the number two fear is death. And the fact that you started so young, and it seems like people were probably telling you, like, this is something you're really good at, or you definitely felt that you had some skill there. And so, like, this speaking engagement or experience led to this one, and that led to that one, and that led to that one. And that's I just love how it unfolds that way.
It's, I really believe it's part of the purpose. Like, when you mentioned that, when I was a, interesting story, my junior year of high school, my maternal grandmother passed away from esophageal cancer, and she passed away in our house. And I remember in the midst of that, she passed away April 8th, 2010. I did like a rap and or like a poem, and I tried out for the variety show, and I didn't make it the first time. When I found out that she had cancer before she passed, like a month before she passed, so early, this would be 2009, probably, or late 2009, like September, October, whenever the variety show trials would be around then. I didn't make it. At that time, I just had, it was just like two poems I did. And then after my grandmother passed in that following April, that my, going into that next year of school, actually my senior year, I did the variety show, and I kind of twisted it where I added elements and I wrote basically a rap to it. And I'll never forget, because I did it to the song Power by Kanye West. That was instrumental. And when I tell you, it was like 300-400 people standing up, all doing a power clap. I had old white grandmothers. I remember afterwards, it was like, you know what I mean? It was like black mothers like, son, you got a gift. You got a gift. Right. And I think a lot of our missions in life are really connected to our purpose. And a lot of these situations, I don't believe, are coincidental. So it is pretty cool to just reflect back and see where things are now. That leads me to speak with a beautiful woman like you right now.
Well, thank you. Oh my goodness. Thank you. You just brought up something really interesting, because like people always say you have to find your purpose and you have to find your purpose. And when you say that to people, it can feel overwhelming because people are like, how do I do that? How do I do that? But I think back to like childhood, a lot of times we are interested in things as a kid, or we are talented in some things as a kid that hint at what we might do in our adult life. Like for myself, I was always teaching. I'm a teacher. I was always pretending to teach stuffed animals, or my brother, and my mother was a teacher also, but I've always been interested in like conveying knowledge to people. And my cousin, when he was really young, he played drums on pots and pans, and now he's a drummer. I feel like sometimes that kind of gets discouraged out of people, you know? What are your thoughts on that? Have you noticed that?
Absolutely. And that's one of the biggest things that I'm so passionate about. That's why the book is called Everyone Needs a Hero. Why Can't It Be You? I know that I've dealt with it in so many different phases. Like, I remember being young and being a kid and thinking, a part of me, I wanted to go to a performing arts school. Mm. But my parents were not in the arts sphere. Mm. And they didn't see life in that way. So it wasn't really, I didn't voice it too much. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't necessarily an option. And I think in a lot of ways, it could be really the closest people to us. It could be family, it could be friends, where you're discouraged from doing something that you really like, and then you wonder why you could be making $300,000, have the great position, XYZ, big house, condo, whatever, whatever, but you're still unhappy because you never really followed what was in your heart. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely because of learned circumstances, because of conditioning of, especially, so one of the big projects I'm working on right now is I'm doing a documentary on healthy masculinity, which ties in this specifically for us, for African-American men. Mm-hmm. And it ties to what's really going to be the thesis for my master's degree, which is creativity connecting to the African-American man's experience. And a lot of times we don't really have the leeway to be creative. even if you're growing up in the society, it's like you almost have to play a sport. There's so many different situations that a little black boy or young black man is put, just placed in this position where it's like you don't feel the security to be vulnerable or to take that risk. It's not really provided to us. And I think everybody in their own way can connect to that narrative, because I think every one of us in some capacity still has that feeling of drawing a stick figure picture with the color and being outside of the lines and showing it to somebody and them saying, oh my gosh, that's a beautiful picture. But if you show your picture and they're like, what's that? You're automatically discouraged from drawing a second picture. And that's the analogy that I create when it comes to us really walking in purpose and falling in line with the things that we truly enjoy.
Yeah, that's so interesting that a lot of times, like when you mention, if you're an African-American male, you are put into this box, like you're supposed to be an athlete, or you're supposed to be a fabulous singer that can sing amazingly, or what else you could, or you're supposed to be a, I don't know, or you're going to end up being a drug dealer or something like that. Where does that come from? I mean, is that something, because you mentioned sometimes our families can discourage us. I know media, society. Why do we buy into that?
I don't know if we got enough time to go deep into that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's a big
I'm just joking, but I think it's layered. So I just finished reading the last book by Dr. King, Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community. And it's one of the best books that I've ever read on the history of humans, specifically in the United States of America. And I think a big reason why that box is created roots from a lot of things in slavery, roots from the separating of families, roots from the demasculating so many men in so many different capacities that have repeated in cycles over time. And it gets to a point where it doesn't just happen from your family. It happens when you go on your phone now on social media and you've got the illusion of Instagram and the limelight and the glitz and the glamour. It happens when you listen to music, because I'm a fan of rap and hip hop. I love a lot of different music, but I know for sure there are certain files in my brain that still have a misogynistic, very aggressive, toxic take on life. Like, that's drilled into my brain. Then if I turn on my TV and I see what happened to Ahmaud Arbery or George Floyd or Jacob Blake, and there was another situation that I haven't even looked into just recently within the last few weeks, it's like we're getting hit from all these different angles of ways that like make you question your identity and make you want to say, okay, I'm either going to go way far right or far left. But really, in reality, there's no true there's no true safety for identity.
Right. So speaking of identity, so let's say that I have a really strong desire to be a writer, right? I even liked dabbling in it as a kid, but my parents tell me, no, you're meant to be a lawyer or, I don't know, engineer or whatever. And I start going through life, like working toward my engineering or my writing degree, but I just feel miserable. Where do I find the courage to kind of step into who I know I'm meant to be, or at least have a strong desire for being this writer? Like, how do I break free from all that? That's another big question.
It's another big question, right? But that's what I'm here for, right? I think a lot of it really starts with self. Part of the journey of life, in my experience, is the embracing the fear, embracing the unknown, becoming uncomfortable. Another great book that I read is for business, Who Moved My Cheese? And it's about letting go of the old cheese. And for so many of us, that unknown, especially now, COVID, it really puts us in a unique position. But if you study a lot of the people that may inspire you in some capacity, they all took a huge risk. Mm. Everyone took a huge risk. And no, it wasn't great. They weren't eating at the finest restaurants like you might see somebody post on their page. They weren't traveling the world during those times. I think about, like, even Omari, I can't remember his name, but Ghost from Power. This is a guy who went to the NFL, got cut from the Chargers, slept in his car. You know what I mean? To now where he's been able to establish himself in different phases. Like, that's a part of the journey. So what I truly believe it starts with really sitting down with self. That may come through meditation. That may come through prayer. That may come through journaling and writing out your vision. So what's my big vision? What do I want to achieve in 12 months? What do I want to achieve in 90 days? What do I want to achieve in 2 weeks? And then taking each day and understanding that those little steps day by day are actually moving you closer to your Rome, to your pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite book is The Alchemist by Paulo
Coelho.
Oh,
I love that book. Yes. That's
oh, my goodness.
Book. Yes.
I read it quarterly. I haven't done it yet for this quarter. I was going to do it right away, but I'm like, you know what? I want to wait a little bit because I get something new every single time. And what I always take from it is when you want something, all of the universe conspires in helping you to achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
And you being someone that read the book, you understand that Santiago on that journey, there was always a constant push and pull. Mm-hmm. And we've all got that push and pull. Mm-hmm. And it resonated so much with me because I realized that I am a romantic. And when him and Fatima, he meets Fatima, he's made more money than he ever made as a shepherd. And he has that conversation like, why do I need to keep going for my treasure? I could just be good right now. Mm-hmm. And I remember the alchemist saying to him, you can go marry her and you two will be in love for year one. And she's going to love you in year two. But also what's going to happen in year two is the universe is going to start to tug at you. It's going to pull at you. You're going to have a resentment because you didn't go get what you were supposed to get. And I think a lot of us or a lot of people have experienced that where you're stuck in that middle space because you didn't go get what you really wanted because you saw something that was good or something that was safe in the moment.
Right. Yeah. That's such a good point. And I think that might be why a lot of people transition careers so often. Because I was talking to someone else a few weeks ago, and we were talking about how ridiculous it is to tell an 18-year-old, look, you need to pick a career that you're going to stick with for the next 40 years of your life. Because a lot of times they might pick something arbitrarily. They might pick something that their parents want them to do. And then 5 or 10 years down the line, they're like, what am I doing? Like, this is not who I truly am. They feel that tug that you're talking about from the universe, like pushing them in another direction. That happens a lot with young people. Yeah.
It happens so much. And I mean, 18 years old, me at 18, my whole level of thinking is so much different than even a year ago. Mm-hmm. So 18 years old, how I would have pictured life and how I would have pictured positioning is not the same right now. And like you said, a lot of it is it's outside influence.
Yeah.
It's not really that inner voice, that inner soul, that intuition. I truly believe I'm a very spiritual person. I truly believe it's divine. Mm-hmm. And that's what intuition is. And we get these moments where we get this divine inspiration, but it's so many things that can distract us.
Mm.
If we're not conditioning and training our minds to stay focused on that mission, we can easily fall to the ground. I'm a 27-year-old single man. I am active on Instagram. It gets crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. my mind can really drift when swiping through.
Mm-hmm.
That's the challenge, though. And one of the people that I've always looked up to is Will Smith. Mm-hmm. And he did, I think they were on the Breakfast Club earlier this year when they were talking promoting Bad Boys 3. And he was talking about how success is a scary, lonely place. And you got to put in a lot of work and you got to truly believe in yourself. And you got to believe in yourself and nobody believes in you. And you got to believe in yourself so much that you're going, he was using Martin Lawrence as a reference. He's like, you know what? He is kind of funny. Yeah. And like, that's how it goes. So to really, truly answer your question, one of the biggest things I always tell people when they ask me about the book, I say, no one can tell your story better than you.
Mm. Mm.
And at the end of the day, the vision that was given to you, it wasn't given to anybody else. It wasn't given to your significant other. to your parents, to your best friend, to your brother, your sister, your cousin, your aunt. He didn't give the vision to anybody else. It was given to you. Mm. So that understanding and appreciation, that's what we've got to focus on. And that's my biggest piece of advice. So if you're someone that wants to write, start writing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Start doing a little bit of research. Mm-hmm. Start reading. Start testing yourself. Where are you on the scale of whatever message you're trying to relay? Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, people don't buy the product. They buy the why.
Right.
They buy the you. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this? Like, and I go back to it. Shameless plug. Everyone needs a hero. Why can't it be you?
Right.
Every single person is amazing. Mm. People asking me about the name. Well, sir, amazing. It's not about me. My name is Aimé Mukendi Jr. I'm just trying to be a vessel to remind every single one of the 7.8 billion of us on the planet that each and every one of us in our own way is amazing.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned how we're scared to embrace the fear when we are taking the plunge into something that we really want to do, and we don't want to embrace the unknown. And how important is it for us to take risks? And I'm not talking about like just careless, reckless behavior. I mean, as you're saying, like, if you want to write, you know, I think people find that scary because they're scared of being judged. Well, if I write something and someone reads it and they call it terrible, then they just want to lay down and die. You know, it's that resilience, right, that you have to build up.
It's interesting because then I'm going to go off the book. So I got a lot of good reviews, 20 plus Amazon reviews right now. They're all great. But there was one review that was just awful. And I remember reading it months ago and just being like, how could you miss the boat? Oh, the author is very self-centered and he's very egotistical and blah, 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 blah. But it's like, that's actually the exact opposite of what I was saying. I actually pulled back the curtain and show all the vulnerabilities, show all the non-amazing things that I was doing and how I was living to show people, like, guess what? That's just a part of the process. Mm. Once we make that decision and start to do some different steps along the way, we all walk into that being that we were supposed to be. So I think focus is the biggest key. It's just like a glass of water. If you focus solely on the air in each glass of water, wine, whatever beverage that is your pleasure.
If you I like water.
You know what I mean? I like water too. I just want to make sure we're all in this together. You know what I mean? No judgments. But if you just stare at the air, then you'll always be thirsty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm. You know, what else comes to mind when we kind of start to step into who we were meant to be is it's going to cost us some friends sometimes, right? I remember like this analogy, I think it was Steve Harvey's, like everyone, we're each kind of pulling our own wagon up this hill. And you've got like some people that are just sitting in your wagon instead of helping you push your wagon up. They're just taking up space and slowing you down. How important is it to be aware of who you surround yourself with? Another big one.
It's so many things that come to my mind. Like, it's so many different situations, so many omens, alchemists talk, so many omens that happened in my life. I remember, I mentioned my grandfather again. My grandfather always told me, it's not always what you know, it's who you know. And he always told me to be very conscious of who you're spending your time with. Mm-hmm. He always told me that, you know, and one thing I always live by is lions hang with lions, iron sharpens iron. Mm. And there, I mean, it's been proven throughout the history of our world, who you associate your time with is a representation of you, whether you do everything they do or don't. Mm-hmm. So that's one part of it. And then I want to tackle this that was presented to me in a conversation where we discuss how sometimes your friends are actually your biggest haters. Mm. And sometimes when you bounce that idea off, and somebody brushes it away because they see the power in you before you do. And I had never looked at it from that aspect where I said, you know what? You are so right. Because sometimes people, it's like when you're sleeping in the bed and somebody walks in the room and they turn a light on, you're like, ah. Right. Some people don't want to be on that level. Some people don't want to improve their lives. Some people don't want to take things to the next level. So when you come in with your light and you let your light shine, that's how their approach is. Turn off the light, turn off the light.
Right.
And if you listen to them, you flip that switch. So it's very, very uncomfortable to go through any type of growth, understanding that you're not going to associate with people the way you once did. But at the same time, understanding that maybe there's an opportunity to reunite in the future, and maybe it was an illusion. It wasn't what you really thought.
Right.
And right. I think based off our environments, our conditioning, especially in our related to us again, like even as a Black man, when I think about athletes and they say, oh, well, he doesn't, how are you going to shift because you don't come back to where you came from? It's kind of like you're still there.
Right.
Yeah. Like you're looking at me still instead of figuring out ways in which you could be near me.
Right.
It's a different conversation. It's a different level of thinking. So I think it's something that everybody who's really pursuing that legend, you definitely have to take into account.
Yeah, you know, I see on Twitter so often a writer will post something like, you know, my family doesn't support my writing, or my family, they stopped talking to me, and it's really sad how sometimes if you have a dream and you want to pursue it, it will cost you some relationships. But you have to also keep in mind, I think, that as you move up, you'll attract people that are kind of in that same caliber as you. So even though you're going to shed some friends, you'll eventually gain some new ones, but it's really hard to let go of the old ones sometimes, you know?
Oh, trust me, I know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you mentioned something else. Were you going to say something?
No, I'm listening.
Okay. You mentioned something else that I think is really important for people who have goals or want to kind of take their life or their career to the next level. And you mentioned a lot that you read. And I think it's really important to study, as you said, study people who inspire you. Because I think that's something people overlook, is we have so many great books and biographies and autobiographies that we can learn so much from. Like, you can earn an MBA from reading all these books, right?
It's so interesting, because I mentioned being a spiritual person. And sometimes I have conversations with people and we just start talking about books. I'm a bit of a bookworm at this stage in my life. And I'd be like, oh, well, you know, all I need to do is read the Bible. And I just look at them, and in my mind, I'm thinking, you aren't even glorifying God, because you don't understand that he divinely inspired those other humans to write these words, these other different levels of study. Like, everything to me, when I read all these different type of books, they do point back to the Bible. But these are also other interpretations and reflections that have been made over time based off the knowledge that was acquired from the Bible, based off of his power to inspire us all in different ways. So it's the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. And there's so much for us to study. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the biggest steps too. Like, as a writer, I know in our modern time, some people like, I want to write a book. They don't read anything. Me personally, I feel like, if I'm going to do something, why wouldn't I at least do some type of research on it? Like,
right. Yeah.
Like, isn't that a part of proper planning? Because the planning portion is so important because of all the other obstacles you're going to come from, the opportunities of your family may not support you. You may lose friends. Like, that's all a part of the journey. So that's why the plan is so important. But part of the plan is actually starting too.
Right. Yeah. I was talking to an entrepreneur. His name is Kuda Biza, and he also wrote a book, but he kept pinpointing that it's really important to take action. Is if you don't take action, you're never going to get anywhere. And I think that's what we're talking about, that a lot of people just get stuck in that place of not taking action because of all this fear, or because of the family and friends that are holding you back. And yeah, it's But I'm telling you, it's like once you do, who is it? I think it's like Tony Robbins that says you have to take massive action. But it's something so powerful about taking, even if it's the smallest step, you know, just you shed a little bit of your old self and step into a little bit of your newer self with every step you take.
You know? When it comes to taking those steps, it's like we get caught in the illusion. Like for some reason, this word just keeps coming to my mind because we feel like someone like Tony Robbins, right? So I'm technically aspiring to be similar to Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. Tony Robbins started doing speaking, videos, cassette tapes, books before I was even born.
Right.
Back in the 80s. So he now is at a place where he may charge somebody $10,000 for a weekend, or I don't know how much his programs cost, but that is 40 years later.
Right.
Like, and even The Alchemist itself, I tell people, I say The Alchemist, when it first came out, Paulo Coelho didn't know the book was going to be a hit. Yeah. It's now a hit. Now people can reference it. Now he gets interviewed by Oprah. But it wasn't like that when he originally wrote the book. And I think that's another piece, especially for writers. We forget some of the greatest philosophers in the history of our world were not appreciated while they were actually exactly. living.
Yeah, that's true.
Now their name reigns supreme. And I think as a writer, that is a part of the joy. That's mm-hmm. a part of the blessing, because the words that you write ultimately can impact somebody on the same planet that we are on way later.
Right. Yeah. 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 That's, I often think of that because, you know, I've had moments where I'm like, is anyone even reading this? Why am I doing this? And you bring up a good point, because a lot of people will look at someone successful like Tony Robbins and they will want to aspire to be something like him. But they don't consider all of the work, the years and years and years of work. And I'm not even talking about like work that he was purposefully doing toward being who he is. I'm talking about like when he was 5 years old and he had to deal with this situation, or he was like all of that goes into what you see now, you know? So it's never just, success is not overnight, I guess is my point. And a lot of people kind of get caught up in that instant gratification.
It's yeah. like on the instant gratification is on a propeller now. It's like, it's more intense than it's ever been because we have so much access to technology where we really think, oh my gosh, this person's got 1 million views on TikTok. They probably were doing YouTube videos 8 years ago that you never watched.
Right, yeah.
So now it's clicked because the right platform and their creativity and the universe had everything in alignment at that particular moment.
Yeah. What do you say for people that are like, well, you know, I am a writer and I write about, let's just say, I write about self-care, but there are so many other writers who are writing about self-care. Why should I even bother? Like, how am I even going to enter this space where there are so many others? What can I contribute to that?
It goes back to the vision he gave you, he didn't give to anybody else. And nobody could talk about self-care the way you talk about right. self-care.
Yeah, yeah. I had a conversation with a psychologist, I think this week, and we were talking about this concept of being unique. And I said to him, isn't your talent what makes you unique? And he said, no, it's your experiences that make you unique. Mm. So even though there might be a lot of people in the self-care writing space, you have unique experiences, life experiences that can shed a different perspective on self-care than this person, right? It's like in teaching, when I could teach something to a class and then have some kids that don't get it, but if they have one of their peers explain it to them, they get it. They didn't get it from me though, but they got it from their peer. You know, so they just need to hear it from you sometimes.
We all interpret, hear, relate to different people. And I'm a fan of Seth Godin, he's another Buffalonian, yeah. and he talks about how you just have to find your 1,000. That's it. You're just looking for your 1,000. 7.8 billion people on the planet. You just got to find the 1,000 people that connect to you, relate to you, that it makes sense, that they have a understanding of self-care and or whatever topic or whatever subject you're writing about, it resonates with. There are certain things that no matter what, we all can relate to. We all got to get up in the morning, brush our teeth, put our pants on one leg at a time, eat, shower. Like, those are things we all got to relate to. But there may be somebody who does it in a specific order that actually relates to you. So it's really about finding the people that we're still all connected.
Right. You know, you mentioned earlier about planning. How important is it How important is it to kind of plan where you want to go, and should you really adhere to that plan, or should there be some room for, you know, a curveball? Or I'm asking this question, I feel some people plan, but they are so rigid on the plan. They don't really leave room for the unexpected, and then when the unexpected pops up, they're just like, ah, you know, want to give up.
Okay, that makes me think of the scene from Pursuit of Happyness, and it's Will Smith and Jaden, they're walking, and Jaden tells a story about a man who's drowning. The first boat comes, they say, come on, jump aboard. He says, no, God's gonna save me. The boat goes on. Second boat comes, hey, come jump on board. No, God's gonna save me. The man dies, goes to heaven, and he says to God, why didn't you save me? And God says, I sent you two boats, dummy.
Right.
So when I say planning, it's not saying, okay, this. It's more about the laws of nature, laws of attraction, understanding of life. Saying what you want is really 50% of it. The how is going to come by you seeking. So not necessarily saying, okay, by Monday the 13th, and there's always going to be that notion to put yourself on deadlines on certain things, because that's a good way to discipline yourself. But some things are out of your control. So when I really say planning, it's more about listing, journaling out your goals. Like, in 1 year, I want to have X, Y, Z. And there's also the notion that, okay, in 1 year, you may not have exactly what you wanted, but the experience you gained in that 1 year puts you so much closer on the path to achieving that goal. And it goes back. I'm big on, I feel like you got to know where you're from to know where you're headed. Think about somebody like Thomas Edison. It took him a lot of tries before he perfected the electric light bulb. But if he didn't do that, we wouldn't even be able to be on this call right now, because you wouldn't see me. Right. So it speaks to just belief, faith, discipline, and like you said, the work.
Yeah, that's what do you say to people that are scared of the work? I was actually talking to a friend yesterday, and she has all these great ideas for these projects that she wants to do, like entrepreneur type projects. And then after kind of outlining her idea, she'll say, oh, but you know, it's going to take this, and then I have to do that. And it just becomes overwhelming for her, where she can't, as we said earlier, take action.
First and foremost, I feel like if you want it, then you're going to do it. Sometimes we say we want things, but we don't really want them. It feels good to say we want to do things. It feels good to say, oh my gosh, I want to go to, I want to be on the beach in Mexico. But you don't want to work extra hours so that you can get the money so that you could be on the beach in Mexico. You don't want to do that. You didn't really want it.
Right.
So that's the first thing. But also, the amount of self-doubt and negativity that creeps into our minds is scary.
Yeah.
And to me, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why people don't pursue the ideas. We start looking at the air in the glass. We're not looking at what's there. We're not thinking about the steps day by day. I'm guilty of it, just like anybody else. For me, people say, man, you need to take a break. You need to slow down. But I'm like, no. Somebody asked me about my greatest accomplishment. I don't even know what to say sometimes, because I feel like there's so much more work to do. So I'm not even looking back at yesterday, but we have to look back. We have to look at some of the things that we've done so that we, once again, to get that belief, that encouragement, because of everything else that's going to be coming at us as we're pursuing. And I'm huge on seeking, ye shall find. Ask, it shall be given unto you. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. And when you really understand and appreciate those words, that is life in itself. You have to seek. That seek may be the reading, the knowledge, the meditation, and the prayer to me is the asking. That's the asking. The knocking may literally be the knocking. So it may be the emailing, the researching, which is still part of the seeking, the connecting with people, and then asking the questions that are going to ultimately put you in position to achieve what you want to achieve.
That's powerful. That's really powerful. Do you journal a lot, Ame?
So I actually have so many different notebooks. I am like this sheet right here. I'm the type of person where I like big poster boards or dry erase boards. And it's like, I'm writing like a doctor, but to me, I feel it's my Picasso moments. Like, this is the artistry. Like, it's coming to me. Boom, boom, boom. I got so many notes. I got two phones. I got notes on both of my phones. When things come to me, I write it down. I may go back to it one day later or months later. Like, didn't I write something about XYZ? I think it's huge because we're the architect of our life. And there's no building that was ever designed without it being drawn out.
You know, Sir Ame, I forgot the sir part. So you, the reason I ask about journaling is because you mentioned it a lot. And when you talked about, you know, asking yourself, do you really want something? I think that's a very important question to ask, and probably even more important, why do you want something? Probably, right?
Why?
And a lot of times we can come to answers to those types of questions through just journaling, just writing out your thoughts and or even talking with people, but sometimes just writing them out can help tremendously. But that why you want something is pretty powerful.
The why is huge. And I just was on this huge global Zoom and connected with someone, and she said how a lot of our answers are within, which I truly believe that. Everything that we're truly seeking and looking for is truly within. Right. We just have to do the proper steps to evoke it. And journaling is a huge step in doing that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And another very influential thing that you mentioned is the self-talk. And I get into this conversation with most of my guests because it's so insidious and can be subtle because we are just so used to it. You know, this voice or the voices that are saying, you can't do this, no one's interested, who are you? And we're just kind of unconsciously listening and conceding to what these thoughts. But I was just speaking before I spoke to you, I was speaking with a psychologist who's like, we don't have to believe every thought that comes through our head. And most of them are not even true. Have you found that for yourself?
I just posted the other day, maybe it was last week. Sometimes the devil lies to you in your own voice. And I'm a huge fan of Les Brown. And Les Brown, when he's got a few clips where he's like, sometimes you got to say to yourself, self, shut up.
Right.
And you literally have to have that conversation with yourself. But it also speaks to our influences, because there was a study conducted by MIT that showed that every single time a person tells you you can't do something, it takes 16 people telling you can just to even the playing field. The 17th person has to tell you can in order for it to stick. When I think about that, and you think about, I think about the influences and the people that you've been, people I've been around. And all the time you say, oh my gosh, I want to do X, Y, Z. And somebody, you can't do that. So that means 16 people need to tell you, 17 people need to tell you that you can. 16 is just going to get you back to the place of saying, oh, I will want to. 17 is going to get you, what's my next step?
Mm.
It really, really makes me evaluate, okay, who do I spend my time around?
Right.
What do I listen to? What do I watch? Because I don't really watch TV, honestly. I just watched The GOAT. We should have won this chip yesterday, but it's okay. It's coming soon. But it makes me, and I think it should make everyone really question, like, oh my gosh, how does that contribute? Because we already have enough to battle with just being a human being in our own head.
Right.
Anybody who's not providing the same a high level of vibration and energy that's going to allow us to move closer to the goal, the dream, the vision, whatever it is, they're hurting us more than they're helping us. It doesn't matter who it is.
Right. And, you know, that reminds me of, that's so interesting how it takes that 17th person to say you can, right, to get you kind of back into the playing field. Because like when you mentioned earlier how you had all these fabulous book reviews, but it was just that one review, all it takes is one, you know, to kind of just get you crumbling. And it is important to just have that support system of people that can help lift you back up. Because as you say, it's easy to succumb to the negativity that surrounds us all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
I had a question and I can't, the pen like was running out of ink and I can't even read what I was writing. So I'm just going to go to my next question until I can figure out what I was trying to say. But how do you, because you mentioned Instagram and there's kind of all kinds. Now I'm not on Instagram, so I don't know. I'm only on Twitter, but I did recently make a Facebook, but I know it's just for old people. Like all the younger people on Instagram. How do you kind of enter that space and kind of keep your focus and the positivity about you and keep yourself, you know, aligned? Because I know there has to be a lot of craziness, and I don't know if you've come across any trolling, people posting crazy stuff on your social media or whatever, but how do you stay positive in such a crazy space?
I recently watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix.
Wait a minute, is that the documentary about how like the big companies are watching our every move?
Yeah. Okay. So it talks about how businesses are manipulating networking apps, how social networking apps are constantly collecting so much information on us. And I watched it in two parts. So I watched it. I fell asleep watching it at night. And when I woke up, I was kind of like, you know what? I'm deleting all my social media. Like, I'm about to take a 3-month cleanse of social media and just focus. But then when I finished it, I said, you know what? There's so much negative being thrown out there. I gotta hit social media with even more positive. It's like taking on that battle. That's how I look at it. It's like negativity is like Mike Tyson in the ring.
Mm.
And it's swinging. And at some points, we gonna get knocked out. Might even get our ear bit off. Like, that is, you know, that is a part of the nature. However, how I look at it is that's part of the mission and the purpose. Then part of my personal mission statement is to help every person that I can. And some people get help from a quote or a video or an image.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, I got a few mentees, a lot of young men. I'm a single man who really tries to discipline his body. And even though, yes, you know what? I double tap certain photos. That is correct. I'm a human being. Right. However, being able to maintain self-control and not do something too far left, it helps a lot of people because sometimes we need to see it. I did a summit during the summer was a men's healing summit, and we were all talking about how some men didn't have a man in their life, or the relationship with their dad wasn't strong, or XYZ. And I talked about how, man, you know, my parents got divorced when I was 4. However, when I saw Smart Guy in the 90s, I needed to see that a young Black kid could be super smart. Mm-hmm. When I watched Fresh Prince, I needed to see Will Smith being cool, but Uncle Phil being Uncle Phil. I needed to see Carl Winslow. I needed to see Steve Harvey. I needed to see Jamie Foxx be an artist in everything that he was doing on his show. That positive identity, it kind of feeds to, we run into election year. No matter, I don't get into politics, no matter what he did right or wrong, I know what it means that to my 10-year-old little brother, my 19-year-old little brother, what it meant to me to see Barack Obama as president of the United States. Right, so that's kind of how I approach my social media, to be Sir Amazing, to be amazing. This is somebody who really cares enough to say, hey, I'm going to keep my shirt tucked in. I'm not going to be using profane language on my page. I'm going to really put positive energy into the air. And some people, like the person that's in the bed, you come in there and flash a light on. They don't want to be awakened. They want to stay in the dark.
Right.
Me, I just want to let his light shine through me.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You know, I was able to discern what I was writing, and you were saying something earlier about, I can't remember what you were saying, but I'll just say my point. So I think a lot of times I know what it is. So when we are working toward our goal and things aren't really going our way, or we think we had some failure. And by the way, I was talking to someone recently, and we were talking about how maybe we shouldn't look at things as far as like you're successful or you fail. Perhaps you just have an outcome. Like you do something, there's an outcome, and you decide whether or not you want to change things to get a different outcome. It's not necessarily a success or failure. But anyways, so you're doing things and it doesn't, I'm writing and, you know, I feel like no one's reading it, blah, 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 blah. And I want to quit. I don't ever think about like the previous successes I've had with writing, because I get so mired in this one failure. And I think that's what it was when you were talking about that one review or whatever it is. Can you speak a little bit about that? How we have so many like good things that we can look back on and claim as successes, but we just choose to focus in on the failure.
Everything that we went through. Sorry, I'm still here.
That's okay. That's a good picture.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Everything that we went through yesterday is preparing us for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my answer. Mm-hmm. When we think about the obstacles, the traumas, the struggles that we overcame, mm-hmm. think about those moments. And in those moments, we all were so afraid. We all didn't think we would pull through, but we're here today.
Right. Yeah.
So when we maximize everything we can do today, it's going to put us where we're supposed to be tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. Sir Amay, this has been wonderful. I cannot believe that you're only 27. You probably get sick of people telling you that. But I mean, you have so much wisdom for such a young person. I was like, is he really only 27? I feel like he's older than me. Good grief. So you definitely have this gift of just encouraging people, this gift of inspiring people to become their selves, because you're so honest about what you do. Like, I'm glad that in the very beginning you said, look, I'm a human too. Let's just get it straight, right? but you still, you're very authentic and you're just fabulous. I don't want to sound like a fangirl here, but thank you so much for joining me. Can you tell us where we can find you?
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for the beautiful compliments. if you want to get in contact with me, the best way is Instagram at Sir Amazing. But if you text the word in all caps, motivator, to 21,000, and you've got to spell it right. Sometimes I know people hit me like, oh, this, you didn't spell it right. Motivator to 21,000, you will get a link text back to you immediately. You click on that link, that is my digital business card. And on that landing page, you can download a free quote ebook, 80 quotes, a few amazing words. I don't even know the title off the top of my head, but I strongly recommend you download that. And there's also a link where you can download Everyone Needs to Hear Why Can't It Be You and all my information. So text motivator to 21,000. And I would love to hear from all the listeners. I'd love to hear and connect with you again. Thank you again for this opportunity. This was definitely a blessing.
Isn't Sir Amazing amazing? For a young person, he's pretty amazing. Make sure that you visit Zazo.com because he is offering a special on his coaching sessions through the end of the year. So I will have that information posted on Zazo.com. Also, to read my big takeaways from my conversation with Sir Amazing, make sure you tune in to visit Zazo.com this Sunday to read my big takeaways from our conversation. To watch clips from this episode, you can follow me on Facebook at Motivation to Write and Instagram at Motivation to Write. You can also follow me on Twitter at Ebony Haywood. I don't post the clips on Twitter because they're too long to post on Twitter, but I post other information about my guests and just some insights on Twitter, so you can follow me there. And tune in next week for the marketing expert and author Bill Flynn, who's going to give us some tips on marketing research. So make sure you tune in next week. Okay, thank you so much for tuning in today, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.